T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
3 balls, 2 strikes. Hand. Broke him down with a slider, and that is it. Brad Hand with strike 3 for Encarnacion, and the Sox had a chance with the bases loaded in the 8th. And the tying run at first in the 9th, but could not finish the comeback. And the Indians win by the count of 4-3 in game number 1. Garcia to first, kicked by Santana. He recovers, and the Indians win. Carlos Santana tracks it down and fires on time, and Cleveland sweeps 2, 4-3 and 5-3.
My personality, I don't panic very much. So I'm not much of a panicker. What I will say is I went into the clubhouse and said, "Hey guys, just keep your heads up. We gotta keep playing, and tomorrow's another day. It's just baseball, and everybody knows that once you start running a little hot, a lot of things are forgotten. But we got to do it in order to forget, you know, what we want to forget."
And the 2-2 to Casale. Swung on and missed strike 3, and the Cubs win the ball game. Looked like maybe a cut fastball of some kind. It came in and had a little tail. And Casale swung and missed, and the Cubs have another win here in Cincinnati. The score tonight, Cubs 8, Reds 5.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in that downtime, right? And we were, you know, excited going into the season and how our starters were looking. But that downtime's tough. And like we've talked about, everybody has come back from that differently. And to a man, that starting staff has looked really good and continues to first time through is a really nice thing to watch.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, you heard the voices there of both Ricky and David Ross, of course, and our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for some highlights. They are givers, wonderful people, and NBC Sports Chicago, thanks much to them as well. Look, here's the problem. As bad as the pitching was, and as much as the takeaway in the first game might be that, you know, Dylan Cease didn't last very long, you can't help but wonder about the blown opportunities, the fact that they had these chances for a clutch hit here and there, and then they couldn't get it done. And it's, you know, it's upsetting. It really is just flat out upsetting to see it.
It is. And after one spin through the respective rotations for the Cubs and the White Sox, the differences couldn't be more dramatically different, because you look at the Cubs, even with Jose Quintana out of that rotation, scheduled to throw a bullpen session today in Cleveland, they're 4-1 with a 1.8 ERA. It was 26 strikeouts, 5 walks. You look at the White Sox, and other than Dallas Keuchel, who was everything that he was promised to be on Saturday in Chicago, he had a great outing, and that is their only victory. Outside of him, all these other promising young pitchers that the Sox have, 17.64 collective ERA for the other guys. That's got to change, because if that did change, a lot of these other situations wouldn't be quite as bad. The offensive, you know, kind of the offense not coming through in the clutch wouldn't seem quite as, you know, stark. And you have to get better pitching, because that is what you apparently had a surplus of from the White Sox perspective. And the Cubs, you get this kind of starting pitching, you're just going to keep rolling. And we are now only 5 games in. You don't want to overreact, but you can be disappointed in the White Sox. I think that, you know, there's a balance there. You don't have to ignore it. It's not just baseball. You can be disappointed, and you can expect better, because they're better than this.
Well, you would think they would be, and you know, again, their issues in starting games are the starters starting games, that again on display with Carlos Rodon. You know, you're giving up runs in the first inning. You know, I think the first game you could overcome some of the problems you had if you could have gotten a clutch hit, and you didn't, and then you get into the second game, and it, you know, it comes down to once again allowing runs early, getting in a hole, and I would imagine that's got to feel pretty awful for a team that needs a win. So I'll be keeping a close eye on Lucas Giolito tonight, and I'll be hoping that he can get out of the first inning clean. That seems to be one of the boogeyman points for the White Sox this year.
And he's going against Zach Plesac, right? He's going against
the
Crown Point, Indiana native, Ball State product.
Dan's nephew, right?
Dan's nephew, yeah. Yes. Zach Plesac, he's going to be a very good major league pitcher for the Indians. And
hopefully not tonight. No offense.
From the Sox perspective, hopefully not tonight, or maybe it could be 2-1 and he could get a no decision. But you're right in terms of underscoring the importance of this outing for Giolito. And I think that, you know, people shy away from attaching urgency just to regular season games in the major league season. But this is no ordinary season, as we know. It's a big one tonight. You need this one if you're Lucas Giolito, because if you stunk the first time out on opening night and your team is reeling. This is what aces do. They step up, they deliver, and he needs to do that tonight in Cleveland.
312-644-6767 is the number. We'll start with Matt. He's in River North. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning, fellas. Now, here's my observations. I do think if the White Sox want to get to the next level, I don't think Ricky's the guy to do it. Clearly, they're not. He didn't have him prepared. But the one thing I could tell you see Lewis Robert play, kind of reminds me of Lawrence Taylor came to the Giants. You could tell right away he's the best player on the team by far. He should be hitting cleanup or third or whatever. I mean, it's crazy that he's not. But the thing is, I think they've overrated their pitching staff. I mean, you know, Keuchel is solid. Cease should get better. He's got good stuff. I would think Giolito, you know, he started off 10-1 last year, you know, finished 14-9. They had to shut him down because he was getting hammered. You know, let's say he's the guy in the middle, okay? He should be solid. Rodon and Gio Gonzalez, I would take Chatwood over Rodon. Rodon is done. His velocity is down. He's done. And he's not going to be on the team next year anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But that was a terrible effort yesterday. You know, he's never even, like Jeff Passan said, you'd be lucky to get 5 innings out of the guy.
Well, I mean, he is coming back from Tommy John surgery. I mean, the guy wouldn't have been able to start the season if you had started the season. I mean, I would tap the brakes on he's done.
Yeah.
You're talking about his first start since whenever. Was it in Baltimore that he ended up having Tommy John a few days after getting, you know, going through a terrible outing there? I don't agree with that at all. I think, you know, give the guy a chance to get back up and running before we pull the plug on his career.
Coming back from an injury, he's got the competitive makeup that you want. He goes after people. He doesn't have maybe the velocity, doesn't have the command, but it is early in his rehab. Unfortunately, what happened was the Sox other starters in that rotation put him in a position where they needed him to be better than he was. And, you know, you can't expect that much out of your fifth starter, and that's exactly what Carlos Rodon is right now. You'd like to get something out of your fifth starter. What the Cubs got from Alec Mills, 6 innings, 2 hits. One was a homer, but he was very good, 10 ground ball outs. That was a model of consistency. Rodon's not going to be there for a while, so everybody else has to pick him up. I'm not going to give up on the White Sox pitching depth after one spin through the rotation. I just think that you can, though, expect them to improve their consistency, and you have to demand it if you're Ricky Renteria and Don Cooper, but I'm not giving up on Carlos Rodon. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I read somewhere that no White Sox team has made the playoffs. Maybe someone tweeted that before the game if they started 1-4, and I believe that. But I don't think we've ever been in a situation where the playoffs have allowed 16 of the 30 teams in it.
So, yeah, right.
You know, I'm not going to overreact to the first five games of a season. But you have another week like that? And forget it, right? I mean,
you can't afford another week like that.
No, you can't. Oh, my God, you can't. 312-644-6767. Jerry's in Romeoville. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry.
Hello. I wanted to ask a question. I'll start off by saying I completely understand players who opt out of the NFL season. You don't know what they have back at home. I've got a brother-in-law who has cancer. He can't get sick, so I understand that completely. But what my question is, the players who opt out, let's say mid-season, because they've already started testing on a vaccine, mid-season they start distributing a testing. Has the NFL said whether these players will be allowed to come back, or are they done for the season? The NFL is saying, if you opt out, you're done.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question because I think they go on a list, and I don't know if it's a long-term, like, injured reserve where you can't come back, or we'll have to figure that out because there have been a lot of moving parts as the Players Association and the league have had, you know, negotiations over the past week and made this route possible for players like Eddie Goldman who choose to opt out, and it's happening, and it's going to happen a lot more. You're going to see a lot more, so I think we need to get some clarity there before we answer that with any degree of certainty.
I think that is a really interesting question, and I am very hopeful. I mean, there does seem to be some good news. There are at least three vaccines that are in kind of late stages here, and here's hoping that one of them works. And they have seen some positive medical treatment, but it's for patients basically on ventilators, right? There is a steroid that helps in that situation, and is it remdesivir? Is that the name of the drug that has been the non-steroidal drug that has been helpful? We are still in a situation where there isn't a discernible medical treatment. We still have people dying from this. And, you know, if you got to a point where the death toll was gone and it was just this painful virus and you would go through all this stuff, maybe that would change people's minds a little bit, even as horrific as it sounds. But until you do get a vaccine going, you've got to be aware of underlying health issues, of being around people that have those kind of issues. And, you know, it is a very difficult situation to be in where, you know, we really are still sort of circling the airport, hoping at some point to be able to land.
And the Bears reported yesterday and begin their testing process. We'll get more from that from Brad Biggs later. But I think the only thing I know for sure, Molly, is that if you choose not to opt out now or by, I think that there's a provision that you may not get the $350,000 stipend later, but you still have that option if you change your mind or if you decide you just don't want to play. Your heart's got to be in it. You have to be committed to it, or else, you know, I think that everyone. You know, I don't want to say everyone. Most people will understand these kind of decisions that you're seeing from Eddie Goldman and, you know, other teams and players around the league. You know, the Patriots were hit hard. Other teams might get hit hard, and everybody's just going to have to wait and see. We're kind of, you just don't know. There was a rumor yesterday that had to be shot down out of Philadelphia that Nick Foles had decided to opt out, and that was proven to be an unconfirmed inaccurate rumor. So he's apparently, you know, reporting to the Bears. But this is going to be the new normal within the NFL.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Ricky, you've trusted Nicky in some big roles so far in the early going. Obviously, gave you the RBI knock at the end of the game today. What have you seen from his at bats that have fortified in your mind to put him in where you put him?
Well, listen, he's going to hit anywhere I put him. The reality is he tries to give us a good at bat every time he's in the box. Squared up the first up I squared up the ball to right to kind of start it off, and we're hoping we're going to be able to build on some of that. But he just gives us solid at bats. He understands the game. He's out there. He obviously plays the outfield and the other positions, but we're going to continue to use him. We're still trying to make sure that we can get everybody back. Some of our guys, we'd like to get Eloy back and Maz back at some point in time, in which case, you'll see a little difference in the outfield. But they do a good enough job to help us try to win ball games, and I think he's a fine major league player.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Ricky Renteria talking about Nicky Delmonico, Nicholas John Delmonico, David. I understand what he's saying. I really do. Nicky Delmonico had a couple of at-bats earlier in the season. I think he had an 11-pitch at-bat one day, followed by a 12-pitch at-bat the next day. I understand the need to kind of see a lot of pitches and get somebody, get a pitcher out of there that might be causing damage. I think, Kenta Maeda, when he had a long at bat against him, that pretty much erased the idea that he was coming back for another inning, which he probably would have. So I understand what he likes about some of those at bats, but he's just not hitting. And I think that's part of the problem. Getting a nice hit, working an at-bat, and getting a hit, God bless them. That's great. But it can't be – they had too many opportunities. And it's not all on Nicky Delmonico. I'm not trying to suggest that. But it's just the way that you're moving him around the lineup when you're keeping other people, right in the same spot is what is a little bit disconcerting. And it's, how much money did you pay for Yasmani Grandal? Well, I get it. A catcher can't start two consecutive games, but you sat him because you wanted him to start all these games, and then you end up in a doubleheader. So where's that philosophy going?
He's got three starts in five games. Nicky Delmonico has started every one of them, I believe. Yep. And when you made a list of reasons for hope for the White Sox in 2020 in this 60-game truncated season,
yep,
Nicky Delmonico did not make the top 10. And I think we have talked way too much about Nicky Delmonico, but we've been forced to. Because why? One day he's batting second. The next day he's batting fourth. You've got a lot of reasons, a lot invested in your prospects, in free agents, a lot of reasons for hope on the White Sox. And none of those have been put in a situation that Nicky Delmonico has to try to help this team. And it isn't all about him, but he symbolizes the disappointment of the White Sox through five games. And I know it's only five games and settle down and don't overreact. Okay, I get it. But it has just been so glaring and so problematic and so consistent that you think, oh, he can't do it again. And then he does it again.
I got to tell you, I wonder sometimes about the White Sox in terms of where are the outfielders of this rebuild, right? I mean, I get it. You traded one for Steele Walker for Mazzara, so he was probably as promising a young player as there had been. But I do think that when you kind of go through the list of outfielders, Aloy is out right now because he apparently doesn't know how to play the outfield. I mean, he's a hell of a hitter, and you made a trade for a guy, and you got to play him, and you don't, you got a team full of DH first basemen, so he's in left field, and he runs into the wall, and he misses a couple of games, and that's bad, right? He has to come out of one and misses a couple, and you need that bat in the lineup. You can say, Mully, you're an idiot. Look at Louis Robert. that guy was born like that. I don't know that you needed to do a lot to make him the player that he is, right? He was a guy that you paid a ton of money to get him when he came out of Cuba because he was such a promising player, and he's trying to live up to that promise. But I don't know that they're developing him in any way. And now, you know, you look at, you know, how is Adam Engel developing? Is Nicky Delmonico developing? I'm talking about the Blake Rutherfords of the world. You know, Luis Basabi is supposed to be further along than he is, and he was waylaid by injury. But that's one element of the rebuild where you're not getting this group of players that you thought you might be getting.
Well, not yet. And I think I understand what you're saying about the outfielders. It's a valid point. Because Robert is a guy that has so much God-given ability, you wonder, you just don't screw him up, right? And maybe that's what they're trying not to do in keeping him batting sixth and seventh and keeping him lower in the order. I think you just have to put him in wherever, higher in the order. As Ozzie Guillen, and we'll talk to him at 7:40, but his reaction in the NBC Chicago sports booth or the new studio yesterday after they gave the lineup and Delmonico was batting fourth was spot on. You know, first of all, the surprised look on his face was great. Here was what Ozzy had to say when he found out Nicky Delmonico was batting fourth.
Nicky Delmonico batting fourth here in game two. And I looked it up. He's actually made 41 starts batting cleanup in his career with 8 home runs.
When?
I don't have that in front of me, but he has done it.
He was with the White Sox before. That wasn't big league team. No. In the last 3 years, no. No, I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah.
But what are you looking at Roberts more at bat?
I think, now, here's what I think he's doing, Renteria. He wants to protect his rookie, but at this point, bring him up in the order.
Wait a minute.
Showing he's ready. I would bat him fourth right now.
But you know, protect from what? You know what I mean? This kid's going to be the future batting fourth or fifth of the White Sox.
Yeah.
Watch out with batting third. And you know what I mean? I just like, here it is, because he looked good on, you know, you see the base he had to right field.
Yes.
Today, nice, easy swing to the right field. He's not the type of rookie you just want to yank and hit home run every time. This kid is a good hitter. Delmonico, you know what I mean? I don't mind about you batting four, but I think you get the best opportunity or more bats to your best hitter.
Ozzie is absolutely right. I don't know what else to tell you. He's speaking the truth there, David, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
I do, and I think that's why Ozzie was trending on Twitter by the end of the game, because he spoke what every White Sox fan was thinking. This is a guy in Delmonico, in all fairness. We don't want to pick on him. We seem like we are, but the Sox cut him. The Sox cut him.
That's right. That's right.
So he is on the team almost accidentally because – Mazar is not here, and there have been other things happen. But if he's accidentally on your roster, how does he end up batting fourth? That's a conscious decision.
He batted second 2 games ago, right?
I know.
You know, I'm just saying, this guy is fast becoming the Daniel Polka of outfielders.
Yes, he is.
I'm sorry. I like Nicky. Let's try Jim in Northbrook. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Morning, guys. You know, I think I grew up hooked on phonics because I'm having a hard time with math. But the Sox are 1-4. The team in first place is 4-1. So with this new baseball math, 2.7 and 10.8, wouldn't they be 7 games back with 55 games to go? And in reality, they've played 107 games. There's 55 games to go, and they're 3 games back. What am I missing? I don't get it.
Let me get out the abacus.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know what? Here's making it easy for you. If their starting pitching doesn't get any better than it has been, you won't have to worry about doing Sox math because it will be easy to figure out and just have to be able to good at reading and the teams ahead of them in the standings. It'll be very easy to see.
I'm with you. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm with you. Let's try Tony. He's in Wonder Lake. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Good morning, guys. You know I'm a frequent flyer, and you know I've been pressing this issue for the last 3 or 4 years. As long as you have the leadership in place that you have now, you're not going anywhere. Ricky Renteria is a fantastic bench coach, but the guy doesn't know how to manage a lineup. He doesn't know much to do with the pitching staff. And as far as the guy that's supposed to know about the pitching staff, He's a joke. Don Cooper, you look at Carlos Rodon, the guy's had three or four consecutive seasons with injuries, but yet the guy stands on the mound with the same mechanics. It's got to be something flawed in the guy's mechanics. You think the pitching coach would maybe go up to him and give him a little tutelage and say, maybe you should change a little something with your delivery. Maybe it would take pressure off your elbow or your arm or your forearm or anything like that. This is a joke, and it's the same old story, same old dance. The team, in my opinion, will be lucky to win 20 games this year. Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
Thanks for the phone call. You know, I think I'm not ready to give up on Rodon as much as other guys and other people seem to be, because it's one start after coming back from injury. Very disappointed in Lopez, Cease, and Giolito. Lopez was injured, I get it, but the starting pitching has been so bad for so many different reasons. I'm just not ready to give up on Carlos Rodon after that start, though, Molly. I just don't think that would be wise.
No, not at all. And I'm disappointed in order in Giolito, Lopez, and Cease, right? I'm putting Giolito ahead of Lopez, as bad as Lopez was, not because Lopez was injured. I'm throwing that out. I'm doing it because Giolito has higher expectations. And the fact that he gave up a home run on the first pitch, looked pained by it, and then got touched for some more runs in the first inning, that is really how the tone of this thing started. And I need to see him do significantly better today, and I'm sure that he's capable of it, but I need to see it. And as far as Lopez is concerned, this is a continuation, injury or not, tight shoulder or not, this is a continuation of how awful he was in 2019. Dylan Cease, I've been waiting for a breakthrough. I thought we were going to get it this year after watching him in the exhibition season. It just reminds me that's exhibition, and it's got to be better, and he has to be better than he was yesterday in the first game. You know, Rodon, I was surprised he ended up pitching as well as he did after his start. He couldn't get out of the first inning, and I thought this is going to be a real major problem here. How long is the guy going to go? You know, not that he went for the world, but he did get through a couple innings, which surprised me after the way things started. And I'm with you, David. You know, you got to take into account a guy coming back from injury. I think that's only fair.
It is. I was disappointed with Cease as much as any starter the first time through for the White Sox, only because I had been fooled, and then maybe that's overstating it. I've been sort of lulled in thinking, okay, this is a guy ready to take that step. I wanted to see more yesterday. The stuff is great at times. The stuff is filthy at times. You need that consistency. You can't give up those runs early. You can't have those letdowns and lapses.
Bigs time next. We'll talk about Eddie Goldman and what you do now. How do you fill that spot? What are the options? We'll bring in Brad Biggs and discuss that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to the show and a good friend to both of us. And he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, breaking news. Bears down a man. You know, listen, guys get hurt. You have to move on, and you got to have that mentality. And it's next player up. Unfortunately, Eddie Goldman, not a guy who will be very easy to replace after he opted out yesterday.
The Bears are going to have a challenge on their hands stopping the run so they can rush the passer and play to their strengths.
Yeah, Eddie Goldman is one of the very best players on first down in the league, period. When you talk about that goal of stopping the run, second down as well. You know, he's a guy that he's not out there all the time, but he got premium pay for only being out there 50-55% of the snaps because he's that good against the run, because he can command a double team on nearly every snap. Eddie Goldman is one of those players that makes the guys around him better on every snap and frees up some of those guys to make plays. And for them to aspire to be an elite defense, the first thing you have to do, as you said, is stop the run. You've got to put teams in second and long, third and long, then you pin back your ears and you go after the quarterback with what you hope is an amped up pass rush this season. No Eddie Goldman certainly creates challenges for the Bears.
Brad, we know that Nick Williams is in Detroit, and as a result, Snacks Harrison is on the street. And, you know, you wonder about him, about, you know, what kind of physical condition he's in, what kind of money he's looking for. He's I think he had an $11 million deal a year ago. What are your thoughts on him? Would he be a viable option, maybe one of the few guys that's available at that position?
Yeah, he's an option. There's not a lot of them, though. I mean, you're talking about a rare breed of guys who can fill that position, and you've had a handful of interior defensive linemen have been reported to be opting out around the league. So there could be multiple teams interested in a guy like that, which would allow him to probably raise his price a little bit or be a little bit choosy about where he wants to wind up playing football. Now, the question is, you know, when will the language between the NFLPA and the league be finalized on these opt-outs? Because that hasn't completely been done yet in terms of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So the official deadline for players to go ahead and opt out is sort of a moving target right now. I think it's actually Tuesday, next Tuesday now. And teams aren't going to submit the list of players that have opted out probably until the very deadline. In the event that maybe a guy changes his mind, but that deadline is going to be coming up quick. It's going to be 7 days after they finalize all of the language in the opt-out. And at that point, nobody can change their mind after that. So it's not like an Eddie Goldman could decide at the end of August, hey, you know, I kind of miss the guys. Maybe this isn't so risky. I'll give it a shot. That's not an option. So, but if he changed his mind before, you know, this thing's done in the very near future, then maybe he's in the mix for the Bears. But it, certainly expectations are that Eddie's not going to be available for the Bears.
Brad, as they continue to discuss that, is that point, do you think, negotiable? Because the players can decide later, I think, to opt out if they're uncomfortable. It would just be for a different payment schedule or a different amount. And I could foresee a situation where a guy like Goldman or whoever is six games into a season, and let's say the NFL, things go well, and let's be optimistic for a moment, and there haven't been a lot of positive tests. You could see him wanting to come back, but is that not going to be possible?
As I understand it, that would not be possible. Once you've opted out and the team has submitted your name to the league is being on the list.
So, we had one of our early callers wanted to know if a vaccine somehow came before the season ended, that would mean that players can't come back.
I think if you opt out, you're out. You know, because there's going to be a lot
of you're spending that money elsewhere. Like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'd all love a vaccine before the end of the season, but I don't know. I mean. And who didn't want a little pony for Christmas when they were 5 or 6 too?
Right. You know, Brad, we're going to hear from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy later today, and this is going to be the most unique preseason training camp addressed by both those guys that we've probably ever heard. Will all of the questions and all of the answers you think revolve around the COVID protocols and how unusual this is, or are there any lingering football issues that you think need to be addressed?
Well, I certainly think it's an appropriate time for the general manager, who's rarely available to talk about some football issues, right? We haven't heard from him in quite a long time, and they've got a quarterback competition that is now not going to be based on preseason performance, which is what we all heard about, you know, and how preseason reps are the most valuable of action you could get before the season starts, the best way to evaluate a competition, on and on and on. So that competition's got to go down now without the benefit of preseason action. It's got to go down without them putting on full pads for, close to 3 weeks still, right? So I think that is certainly a worthy topic for the GM and the coach as well. Yeah, the COVID-19 stuff is unprecedented, and you're going to want to hear about that. But hopefully Ryan has enough time to field a couple football questions sprinkled in as well.
Well, first of all, Brad, I never asked for a pony. I think I asked for a racehorse when I was 7. But at any rate, when you think about the Mike Sando story, couple points. One, the idea, and again, we'll talk to Mike later in the show, and I'm sure you read that story where he talks to 50 people and does rankings in The Athletic for all the quarterbacks in the league and has different tiers for them. And one of the comments about Mitch is that he lacks sort of any kind of X-Man quality. He doesn't have one thing that you'd say he's super good at, and that's the defining characteristic of him as a player. And then with Nick Foles, the comment was basically, you know, there are certain guys in the league that can't be satisfied in the role that they have, and backup quarterback is what his role should be. You know, obviously capable of coming in and playing well if it happens, as we saw in Philadelphia, where he's needed. But I thought it was pretty interesting, both those comments. What is your take on the Bears quarterback situation, and what do you make of rumors that Nick Foles was going to opt out or could opt out, and unfounded rumors, as it turns out, but who knows?
Yeah, well, I'll start with that. My phone was just—I was getting text messages left and right from people in the league that, you know, I talk to regularly, semi-regularly, and I haven't heard from in quite a while. Yesterday, about that full stuff. So it sounds like he indeed is going to play football for the Bears. You wonder if. You know, he had some, it was a tough decision for him. You wonder at least a little because, you know, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. Fortunately, there's not a, you know, 5-alarm blaze here. And he, according to the agent, plans to play this season. So that's a good thing. Yeah, Pace would probably not want to talk about the Mike Sando article you probably discussed earlier where it puts the quarterbacks in tiers and the Bears guys are right there kind of rock bottom. What are there, two guys below Trubisky, I think? Yeah. One of them is Dwayne Haskins, and is the other Jarrett Stidham, who hasn't played really, right?
Mitch is 32.
So, yeah. And Foles was 26 or 27, if
yep,
I recall.
26, yep.
26th, yeah. It the Trubisky not having a quality that stands out, I think he's pretty good on the run, but he's not a running back. So, I think that's a fair comment in regard to him. And Foles, he's never started more than 9 regular season games in a row. He's been around a long time. He has played a good deal. It was fantastic, obviously, in the postseason for the Eagles. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He was MVP. But you just haven't seen him put it together for any kind of stretch in the regular season where you look at him and say, hey, this guy's going to be a top-notch starter for us. And maybe he could do that for the Bears. I don't know. He hasn't done it yet in his career. Maybe he can be that upgrade over the play they had at the position last year that they need, where he's not going to go to the Pro Bowl. He's not going to play like a Super Bowl MVP, but he's going to be a steady guy that can take advantage of certain situations, help them score a little bit more, and balance out a team that should be led by a really good defense. That's probably what the Bears are really hoping for here. But, yeah, to think that either one of those guys should be significantly higher on that list that Sando did, you've got to have you got to get out of bed drinking the Kool-Aid to think that.
Right. All righty, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great day. Stay safe.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Mike Sando. And, I thought it was very fair. I thought the comments were very telling. And, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. Again, the idea of with the Bears is that they got two quarterbacks that are interchangeable, right? I mean, 26-32, you're still down in the bottom.
Yeah, when you have a guy who's a tier three and a guy at tier four, you are debating that. It's not a very fun debate.
It's really not a debate.
Right.
Get better would be pretty
much mandate.
Two words. Yeah. Mandate. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.